Okay.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. And here we are on Friday getting ready for and in the middle of day two of the final round of the FedEx Cup playoffs. We're, of course, talking about the Tour Championship at Eastlake Golf Course in Atlanta. And without any further ado, that's where all the drama is. And a lot of guys making some moves today here on Friday. Let's go to Frank Bastet. He joins us from the media center there at Eastlake at the Tour Championship. Frank, how's things looking? From what I can see on TV, it looks like a beautiful day, but maybe I'm mistaken. Is there anything with the weather? Or does it look good?
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievably hot, unbelievably humid. It's typical Atlanta this time of year. It's great out there. Greens are slick. They're perfect. I was out this morning on the practice range with Jason Day and Matt Kuchar, and Jordan came up, and then we went over to the putting green, and, oh, my goodness, those things are slick. And the rough's thick. And this is just a tough golf course. Paul Casey came out of nowhere, and Webb Simpson, sure. This has turned into a horse race. Jordan's not doing as well as I would like for him to be doing, or we all would, because we love Jordan Spieth and his family.
Yeah.
But got to tell you, yesterday I'm in the clubhouse sitting there, and someone comes over and taps me on the shoulder from behind. It's Jordan's dad, and his dad and mom were there with their little daughter, and so they sat down and we visited for a while. It was great, a lot of fun to see them. Then today, the Simmons family, who's one of the closest friends of the Spieth family, came in. They're here, so it's like family week here. It's quaint, 30 players, so mostly it's a lot of tour family here. And the crowds will be big this weekend from local, but this is great. It's just always fun to see everybody. Cuzzy's here, by the way. Cuzzy is Ernie Els' manager. I was disappointed, as I told you, that Ernie wasn't in the tournament, so I said, well, I'm going to miss Cuzzy and Moose and all the crowd, you know, to hang out with. Well, they're here. So I went to the store, got some Pepto-Bismol. I'm ready for tomorrow. So we're going to have some fun tonight. This is great. It's exciting, as you can tell.
It has been great golf. I mean, it's as you said, only 30 guys. So, I mean, despite the fact that Spieth he just made a bogey, so he's in 15th place. Normally you'd be like, it's not too bad, except for that's halfway to last place in this limited field. So he's heading in the wrong direction because he's now at 2 under. Again, kind of midway through. I was going to say early, but midway through. Some guys are finishing their second rounds. But the leaders, as you said, Casey and Simpson, 8 under. So now Jordan's 6 back. You know, can't fall too far back because these guys are putting on a pretty good show. And Justin Thomas has made some moves today, as has Patrick Reed. He's at 4 under on the day. So Jason Duffner, 3 under. Justin Rose, 3 under. So Jordan Spieth hanging around even par today. Not going to be making up any ground, and it's going to be tough over the weekend unless he can start making some putts drop down. So we'll see. Still a lot of golf to go, but boy, it's got to be exciting there because this is kind of what everybody's been waiting for. And let's not forget, there happens to be a $10 million bonus on Sunday for somebody, whoever wins the lottery come Sunday. Hard to predict who that'd be right now, but somebody's going to walk away with an awful lot of money, aren't they?
Yeah, big time. And 1.5 basically for this tournament, but then the $10 million for the FedEx Cup. Big money. But you know what? It's always so exciting to be here. I love the Tour Championship because it comes down to mano a mano shootout, baby. It's just it's tough out there. By the way, ran into Tony Finau yesterday after his round, and he and his dad stopped and spent some time visiting. I didn't have my microphone with me. We were out on the practice putting green, but Tony came over. Let me tell you what kind of guy Tony Finau is. I met Tony 2 years ago at the Players Championship. I've seen him a couple of times since then. I didn't have my badge on. He walks up, Mr. Bassett, how are you? And sticks his hand out.
Really?
I said, Tony, how did you remember that? He said, we had so much fun at the Players' Championship. It was really cool when I met you and your friend. He didn't remember Brendan Sweeney's name, but he remembered me. I don't know why, but that was that was very impressive. He is a fine young man, and the acorn did not fall far from the tree. His dad is just a super individual, too.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy and a heck of a player, and one that a lot of people need to keep an eye on because while he is young and a little bit lesser known at this stage, I think you're going to be hearing a lot more about Tony Finau in the coming years because he's a very talented golfer. And if he gets a short game, he's kind of following the same track as Dustin Johnson, a big bomber, great long game, can outdrive almost everybody on tour, struggles sometimes with the short game. If he gets that under control like DJ has, we might be looking at another young superstar in the making in Tony Finau.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Hey, you know, you never know who you're going to meet at the Tour Championship. You run into everybody and anybody. And ran into somebody that I conned him into coming over and putting a headset on to join us and get in on this action. Ran into a new friend, Eric Kaplan. Aaron basically has a new book out. It's AxisGolf, AxisGolf.com. It's called Putting, The Four Secret Body Locks. He just happens to teach and cured Bernhard Langer of the Yips when they met. So that's pretty strong. Miguel Angel Jimenez is also one of his students that he works with. But he initially developed this method to reduce shaky hands of golfers with Parkinson's disease. But he explained some of it to me, and I won't get into it too much because I want him to do it. He speaks much better than I. But I want to welcome in Eric Kaplan. Eric, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is absolutely a treat. You know, again, looking forward to having a new friend in you, too.
Yeah, well, I met him out on the course, Tim, and with another friend who's in the media. And I said my name, and he said, oh, listen to y'all's show. He said, you guys are out there. It's really a lot of fun. So now he's on the show, so he's stuck. He's stuck with us.
No, I don't want to say stuck, but I'd be more than happy to contribute a couple of ideas here and there.
So
but.
So tell us, give us the background, how it started a little bit, and then let's get into a little bit of what you did for that hacker Bernhard Langer.
Oh, no, hardly a hacker. Again, you know, for me, it's absolutely surreal even sitting with you right now. Honestly, appreciate that my beginnings as an instructor are actually quite humble. And then I started playing golf when I was 5 years old, and my father was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. So growing up, golf became my escape, my catharsis, and like for many of our listeners, a best friend growing up. And so I happened to meet a lot of people who had Parkinson's while growing up on the golf course. And I happened to notice that the symptoms of the disease for those who played golf seemed to be ameliorated via golf. That was the answer a young impressionable kid had. And I had no idea about the process of relearning motor function. I had no idea how therapeutic it was for people with Parkinson's disease. All I knew is that golf held the secret recipe. And at the age of 11, I put together these clinics for people with Parkinson's just to get them on the golf course, to teach them how to play. And, you know, it was wonderfully cathartic for me as well as for them. And so I discovered a couple of things, you know, while working with these people with Parkinson's that were able to help them quell the shaky hands, which is probably one of the most symptomatic things of those with the disease. And it's through different positions that you put the body into is ultimately what led me up to the Mayo Clinic to work with doctors and people that knew, honestly, nothing about the golf swing but everything about the body. And, you know, that's really, you know, we developed what I call the four body locks, which is a series of antagonistic positions you put the body into that help quell the shaky hands and tremors of those with Parkinson's. And so that really where I thought my career would begin and end, so to speak, is doing outreach programs for people with Parkinson's disease and, you know, help them more fully enjoy and further enjoy a game that we all love. And that's when I got a call from Langer saying, Eric, I hear you have a methodology for people with neurological issues. I have the YIPS. Can you help me? And what's interesting is that, you know, even though a lot of people think that the YIPS themselves are mental, you know, they're not. You know, I would definitely agree with anyone who says the game of golf is 90% mental. However, you do need to get past the 10% physical first. And, you know, we'll go through some of the more of the concepts in terms of, you know, what really is the issue when it comes to somebody's putting stroke and why the issues are always more apparent in somebody's putting stroke to begin with.
Well, now that's interesting because I always thought the yips were all in the head.
Absolutely not. And so think about it like this. You know, because the putter is shorter, we will all have a tendency of bending over more from the middle part of your back, right?
Yeah.
And so if you bend more from the middle part of your back, what does that quickly do to your ability to rotate your shoulders around your spine?
It restricts it.
No question. Yeah. And so if you're in a position where your body is restricted to rotate, something else has to take over, doesn't it? And if that something else happens to be your hands, you know, you're inviting unnecessary moving parts from an improper engine. And for those with Parkinson's disease, you know, the hands are very whimsical. You know, sometimes they will work, sometimes they won't. But if I can teach somebody how to go ahead and use what I consider a more centralized engine, which is not even the shoulders, believe it or not, it's the shoulder blades, as the engine of a putting stroke, you know, for them they're able to create a much more seamless and fluid rotation, and we just happen to apply the same stuff to some of the best players in the world with equal efficiency.
Tim?
See, now I'm really messed up because I thinking that it was all all mental. At least I had that going for me. now you got me correcting something I don't even know. So I'm back to square one. So is it? It's all the same. You're saying no yips, whether it's driver yips or chipping yips or putting yips. None of it is mental.
And so I would say that, you know, if the beginning of it all, if your step into posture doesn't allow you to rotate, you know, you're going to create a series of mental anxiety when it comes to something that hasn't even already happened yet because of previous experience. But if you're able to go ahead and set something new, a clean slate, if you will, in terms of your posture, and free up your body's ability to create a proper turn, you very quickly create a new, what I call, schema in terms of the way that you're seeing the body react and respond, where you're all of a sudden not going to have to do so much over the course of a putting stroke. And so even though there is a mental anxiety that does come about when you repeatedly see, you know, your hands over fire or misfire, if you will, you know, it takes, you know, relatively short amount of time before you realize, wow, I don't have to do so much anymore.
You know, Tim, he showed me some video of Barnard on the putting green, setting up and then setting up after he worked with him. And it's pretty dramatic what you see. You really would, you're going to have to get together with this guy. He's going to have to come to Dallas. And
now, did Longer have issues with the long putter, or was that part of the yips and he went to the longer putter? What was the chronology here of when he went to long putter?
Okay, so he definitely went to long putter. He was already using the long putter with an anchored stroke when we first met. But the way he was trying to putt, of course, was, you know, the putter, of course, was anchored and the hands were kind of working back and through. And the issue is, if you have the hand just as the engine in your putting stroke, you know, how many different ways can they work around the body? You know, quite a few. And so we very quickly got him to a better posture and showing him how to rotate using his shoulder blades. And the nice thing about this is there's only one way the shoulder blades can work around the back of the spine. And so that very quickly limited the range of motion of his body, which created more consistency. And so you brought up the driver yips. The reason why the driver yips are, yes, you know, less apparent and less common is because the driver is longer, it does help your posture get a little bit more erect. And so that's where it's always going to be more
that's
present
really
in your putting.
So for my chipping, not to make this all about me, but then
it should
what
be.
The hell,
but
why
it is.
We?
But it is.
It's all about you.
It should be. Are you saying if I... you can't answer all my questions, but am I too short? I need to stand up higher? I don't want to be crunched down when I'm chipping?
And the answer is, how are you hinging? Because a lot of people will say, hey, bend over, you know, forwards. And what will happen when you do that, it will improperly center the weight too far over the balls of the feet. What I want you to do instead is stand up straight and actually take your thighs and push your thighs back while your upper body comes down. And then you add a little flex to the knees. Because what you're going to do is you're going to give room for the spine to be more elongated by pushing the thighs back, not by bending over forward. Because if you bend over forward, you're already compromising your posture because you're going to create too much curvature of the spine. Imagine somebody doing a yoga posture where they're hinging back first from the hips. That's what we're looking for out of a putting stroke. The same thing we'd look for out of a drive off the tee. Because my question is, why would you ever want to be set up in a position where your body's in its own way? And that's where there's actually a cute story that you recently had
on
the golf channel.
I did not. Only when we were gambling.
Absolutely.
Oh, we don't gamble.
We don't. Not anymore.
We don't gamble. Not
what to do. What was interesting is they recently had me on the golf channel to talk about, you know, some of these concepts, and Dave Marr called me the Michelangelo of instructors.
Dave Marr?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And he had a cute little story that went along with it, in that, you know, have you been to Florence, Italy?
I have.
Okay, you've been to the Museo, you've seen Michelangelo's David?
Yeah.
Okay, so for those of us who have not seen David, when you go, hopefully you don't think of me in that way. but there's two schools of thought regarding how Michelangelo carved David. One that says he took a piece of marble and he carved David, that's great. But Michelangelo himself believed that he took a piece of marble and got rid of everything that wasn't David. And so if we're able to get rid of the need for the body to do extra stuff, you're obviously going to get more consistent. And what's interesting about this is the fundamentals we define the putting stroke are not isolated to just putting. You know, they apply themselves to every other part of the game as well. And to make a change in your putting stroke actually has a longer effect in every other part of the game for that reason, which is kind of neat.
Now, so you have a website to go to, a book?
Yeah,
tell
yeah,
us
yeah.
where
yeah.
people can
yeah,
find
correct.
Out more about
this. Yeah, axisgolf.com, A-X-Y-S, which is basically a word that unifies anatomy and physics to explain the golf swing. So that's A-X-Y-S-G-O-L-F.com. And, you know, we found that a lot of instruction is based upon fad or subjectivity, you know, who the best player is of that era. And because my focus initially was working with people with Parkinson's, I had to kind of throw out that script and ask the objective question, how is the body designed? By which I could go ahead and help somebody with Parkinson's. And it just so happened to stumble into a more effective way for somebody with Parkinson's, as well as a guy like Langer. And we all fit somewhere between those two horizons, right?
Yeah, this is fascinating stuff. Tim, I was flipping through the
book. Eric Kaplan, let me just reintroduce him. Eric Kaplan with Axis Golf. Again, the website is axisgolf.com. It's AXYS, axisgolf.com. Learn more. I mean, fascinating. I'm learning
cool
more
stuff.
Right now.
Real cool stuff. I
appreciate
and,
it.
I happened to run into him. I thought that was fortuitous because, needless to say, Roger's coming back to town, and we're going to have our normal match again, so I need some help.
Well, certainly providential for all of us.
So between Eric and then Steve Johnson and Dr. Troy Van Beezen.
You're good company.
And we'll bring Dr. Rob Bell in on the thing for a little mental thing, too.
We can do that.
So we'll just do it all.
Yeah,
we'll
I love that.
Up. Hey, Eric, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Promise to come back. I want to talk further about this and maybe do a kind of a special segment to dive a little deeper in.
No question, because one of the most important things for me is also that outreach on the Parkinson side.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people that do have the disease and do suffer, and if I'm able to, you know, help them a little bit, that for me means a lot. So I appreciate you having me back on.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Eric Kaplan, everybody. Hey, that was great. Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, very helpful. Very helpful. I mean, I'm going to take a look at it and see what he has to say.
Yeah.
I mean, Bernhard Langer, you know what? If we're comparable ages, so and our games are almost identical.
Oh, yeah, really close.
So if he can help him and help me, I'd take it. Boy, that'd be nice. That'd be really, that'd be special. So I don't, you know, I've always said there's a lot of people that have these thoughts on yips, and it's such a common thing that goes back, you know, forever, I guess, the beginning of golf. And you talk about even great golfers and Johnny Miller and major champions that have had them and it's ended their careers or shortened their careers.
Yeah.
It seems to me that there's got to be a solution. There's got to be something. And for him to say, well, it's not all in your head, because everybody thinks, well, you get older and somehow your head gets kind of clogged up with stuff when you're not young and free swinging and all. But he's saying, well, it's really not that. And Langer certainly has proven a much better senior golfer, even though he was a very successful PGA Tour golfer, but a much better senior golfer than he was as a. Now he dominates every statistic on the senior. So
yes,
it
does.
Shows that it's not about the age, that your game can actually improve. It is certainly has.
He's certainly hurt some people's feelings out on
cool.
PGA Tour champions.
I like the commercials they do. You see those commercials they do?
Oh, yeah.
PGA Tour champions with him and
at the ice machine
and stuff.
Yeah,
at the ice machine and trying to sneak into his locker to steal the Carl Schwab cup and everything.
Too.
Yeah, they do some good commercials. Yeah,
they really do.
Everybody has a good sense of humor about it because they all want the same thing, which is to beat Bernhard. So it's like everybody else on tour on the champions is going, yeah, let's do some fun commercials as long as we get to attack Bernhard because he's taking everybody's money. So, good for him. I think to know. Eric Kaplan, again, the guy's name, and axisgolf.com with a Y, AXYS, Axis Golf.
Yeah.
Sounds
cool.
Like a smart guy there, Frank. I was kind of, my head was exploding. Not from the yips, but from listening to all his syllables.
Yes, he's very
smart.
Guy. Very well spoken, well read. Unlike you and I, who went to the University of Fraternity Parties and sorority
dances. What did
Dave
Mark call him? Dave Mark called
him? The Michelangelo of putting?
I've been called the Howie Mandel of broadcasting. Is that almost the same thing?
You've been called a lot more than that.
Is that almost the same? Yeah. I don't think it is.
Well, I wish you were here. You went to the farm, and I'm down here in the city. So Conway Farms, and here I am in Eastlake. Last night we went downtown.
Did it take you a while? Was the drive bad?
Yeah, it was terrible. Traffic was terrible. But last night the PGA Tour radio team, all of us went out together to a really good Chinese restaurant downtown. And then, of course, back over to our sponsor hotel, the Omni Hotel CNN Center, and shout out to Omni Hotels Worldwide, Omni Resorts, I should say, and hotels for taking care of Golf Talk America so well. I mean, it's
good.
Great service, beautiful facilities, really, really nice bar. It was a really good bar. So,
by the way, the tournament, as we're talking about at Eastlake, the Tour Championship, has a mathematical equation that we probably have to get Eric Kaplan back on to explain, because right now the top guys aren't leading, and so meaning the top five all had the chance. If they win this tournament, the Tour Championship, then it's all academic. They win the tournament, they win the FedEx Cup, they win the bonus, everything's easy. It's what happens when you've got a Bill Haas kind of a situation, and somebody...
He was 25th. He was 25th.
Yeah.
Well, guess who
it.
Is six under par now, four under for the day, and sitting in third place? Jason
Who's
Duffner,
that?
Who started in 30th position.
30th place.
So we're going to have someone from MIT and Georgia Tech in to help us analyze and figure this thing out.
Because he needs to not only win, you know, obviously everybody has to win. That's the number one thing, win, and then other things fall into place. He needs a lot of things to fall into place, even if Jason Duffner were to win. But even if you go down the list a little bit and you get some guys that are far from, you know, being in 30th place, but they're in the top 10 or 15, and they were to win, like a Webb Simpson we're talking about.
Yeah.
If Webb Simpson wins, okay, what else does that mean? He has to win, but other guys have to finish fourth or below, and it goes crazy. And right now it's a little too early to kind of get into it because we have two full more rounds over the weekend for this to sort out. But that's when it gets a little bit complicated if, again, one of the top five guys, and right now Justin Thomas is the top of those five guys. Justin Thomas is right now at 500 par. If one of those guys wins, again, it's academic. But if they don't, that's when it starts to get... Because remember, Bill Haas played well and had a phenomenal... that was in the playoff, I guess, was it not, with Hunter Mahan?
It was.
The shot out of the water. Okay,
yeah.
So before that, he didn't even really know where he stood in the FedEx Cup. He was obviously trying to win the tournament, as everybody is,
yeah,
and then let the cards fall where they do. He didn't even realize till he was done that they go, oh, by the way, you also won $10 million. I was like, you got to be kidding.
Well, no, they were,
I mean, he didn't know.
Just as they were going on the air, they were about to do the trophy presentation. They're all standing there, and he said, by the way, who won the FedEx Cup? And they all looked at him and said, well, you did.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I did?
Yeah, because these guys... It's like Art Selinger said, you know, it's enough for these guys to keep their own score and know what's going on.
Yeah.
They're also trying to figure out, oh, by the way, if I win, what happens if Justin Thomas finishes in ninth and Jordan's tied for fifth? You know, how do you know that? I mean, you wouldn't figure all that out while you're playing.
Well,
so
we do have an analysis tool right in front of me that I can go to and tell you, hold on, just work with me with this for a minute here.
That's right. That's
I
right.
can go to winning scenarios. This is fabulous. The tour set us up with this. Okay, so it tells me that in 28th, the prior rank, 28th position, he's number 25 right now. For Sergio Garcia to win, he has to win the Tour Championship. Spieth has to finish 19th or worse. Justin Thomas has to finish 6th or worse. Dustin Johnson, 4th or worse. Mark Leishman, 3rd or two-way tie for 3rd or worse. John Rahm, confused. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it starts to get really tricky to try
to
tell
you
all this
I can
stuff
tell
out.
You a fact. Phil Mickelson is not going to win the FedEx Cup.
Well, here's the other guy.
Breaking news.
Talk about who is red hot at the BMW? Mark Leishman.
Mark Leishman.
Right? Played phenomenally well.
Yeah.
He is not playing well.
No.
At the Tour Championship.
Not
so he's
all.
One of the top five that had it in his own hands. Looks like that certainly, unless something really spectacular happens, is not going to happen where he wins it himself. So for some of these scenarios to play out for Tony Finau or Matt Kuchar to win, they not only have to win, but those other things fall into play. Well, Mark Leishman is probably one of those guys that has to finish below 20th, and he's so far helping out. he may finish below 20th out of the 30. So, yeah, stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even last year we saw, even though Rory was far from being kind of an upset guy, but certainly nobody saw that almost until, it was three holes to play. He was still, or four holes to play, he was like two or three back. He had to pull off a miracle shot, and he did it. He did it. He got into a playoff and won the whole thing. So
Dustin Johnson called security because he'd been robbed.
He'd been robbed.
He'd been robbed right there on the course. Hey, by the way, I went over to the clubhouse a little while ago. The media center is separate from the clubhouse. So I went back in the clubhouse and got in the elevator, went upstairs to the players' locker room, walked down the hall, and lo and behold, who's laying on his own workout table with his hat on his chest, about half asleep, upstairs? Dr. Troy Van Beezen.
Oh.
So I walked up to say hi to him, and there he was snoozing, and I kicked the table and said, get up. What are you doing, Troy? Anyway, he wants to come on, so he's going to try to come on tomorrow with us.
Okay.
So that'll be good. He told me to text him today, but some players are coming off the course, or will be coming off the course, so he'll be working on some guys up there. But
He's probably been there since 3 in the morning, and that was his only nap. And you kicked the table.
Oh, well, you know, I'm a sweetheart.
Hey, Troy, what you doing?
Well, I just wanted to meet him face-to-face, you know. I've talked to him a million times.
Well, there you go. That's justified then. That's okay.
Yeah, wake up. Get up,
I just
boy.
To meet him, yeah. What have you been doing, nothing?
It's good to be here. Hey, you know, let's take a break and see. There's somebody I'd like to grab on with us. I can run out and grab him out of the media center here.
Okay, put him in a headlock.
I might try that, but I might get hurt. Anyway, get us out of here for a minute. Let's come back with another surprise.
See if we can find somebody. Okay, we're again coming to you from the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta. We'll give you a taste of the leaderboard again when we come back here on Friday, the second round, and also introduce you to Frank's new secret friend when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America. Stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios, and Frank Bassett, our man on the spot, is at the Tour Championship at Eastlake Golf Club in Atlanta inside the media center. He was trying to track down a few different people. Apparently, Jordan Spieth and Jason Duffner are still on the golf course, Frank, so I guess they couldn't come and do our show just now.
Well, I was going
to... I don't know why.
I was going to get Jordan's mom to come on, you know. Remember when you interviewed her, she was very relaxed. She said, I don't want to be on the radio. She was so sweet. She was good. She was great.
Yeah, she was very nice. So, but yeah, she kind of didn't want to take, take anything from Jordan. I'm like, nah, Jordan's been interviewed plenty. We'd like to hear from you.
Absolutely. So
they have their foundation coming up again in October, do they not?
They have us coming back also.
Dallas?
They mentioned that today.
That'd be very nice.
Mentioned that to us today.
Great
clubhouse. Time.
Boy, that was a first class operation.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy,
and what a
set up nice.
What a great party and great
family. Yeah, that's what I mean. They had tents set up. It was like a tour event.
Oh, it was huge.
For his foundation over at the Four Seasons, and great food. And even on the golf course. Remember we were playing? But as the guys were playing in the tournament, we were going around trying to find different people and talk to different people. Every third hole, there was more food from the Four Seasons at a stand. And we're like, well, sure, I'd love to try a taco. Bring that over here.
Yeah, I lost you at the roast beef stand, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
It was pretty good.
It was the best. And they had ice cream bars and stuff, yeah.
But Ryan Palmer had the country music playing loud. Remember, Spieth came by and said, you got that loud enough? And Ryan said, no, I can turn it up for you.
Yeah.
He was riding around in his cart with country music going as loud as he could.
That's another one of those changes with the we got to get Art Sellinger back on again, because as much as Art went on a rampage on Monday's show, I think he only got about halfway into all the things he wants to change. And one being the rule book with USGA, but the other being, you know, the quiet and silence. And you go, come on, guys love to play golf. Everybody plays golf with a little boom box in their golf cart now, or somebody had down the fairway. So it's, you know, I think we're going to, if we're looking on my soapbox here, if we're looking for the younger players that want to get into golf, whether it turns into professional golf or not, but just to have fun and enjoy the game of golf as the USGA is commissioned to do, then part of it has to be let them have some fun. You know, they got to get out there and have some fun and enjoy it with their friends and not feel like there's too many restrictions, if you will. So, we'll talk more about that down the road. But next time we get Art on, I'm sure we'll just have to say, Art, USGA, go ahead. What do you got to say?
And you're like,
you can take off for about an hour. All right, we'll come back. Yeah,
hey, by the way, Eric just hollered at me and said, Eric Kaplan, accessgolf.com, and said, for all of our listeners who want a copy of the book, go to his website. Golf Talk America listeners, just notate it. You get a free copy of the book. They're adjusting the website for us to give all of our listeners a free copy of the book. That's pretty cool.
Nice. And the website is?
AXYSGOLF.com. AxisGolf.
With a Y.
.com.
Axis with a Y.
So that's cool.
So somehow there's a place in there to put that you're a listener.
I guess they're going to do that.
Okay.
He's going to adjust the website. So if you go there and it's not there, hang loose, but go back to their website and get yourself a copy of the book.
It could change my life. It could change my life.
If he could help me with that chipping.
Yeah. Because you know what happens, though, Frank, is you get creative, and I do appreciate my creativity, but I really don't want to always hit a hybrid from 10 yards off the green, you know, or whatever all the other alternate shots. Every day of golf, I have to figure out what is my go-to if my chipping isn't working. And I find that out pretty quickly. Okay, chipping's not working
today.
It's
usually the beverage cart.
And I've got to go to sometimes putting, you know, take out the Texas wedge from 20 feet off the green.
I hate that.
All kinds of other things that you decide you have to do. I don't mind the 6-7 iron, you know, from 20 yards off the green. I don't mind kind of hitting the bump shot. That's not bad, because I don't think it's a bad play whether you have the yips or not anyway. Trying to hit the Phil Mickelson shot is probably a little too aggressive for most of us. But I just don't want to have to look at a club in my bag and go, which one of these?
Exactly.
It's going to get into a 20-foot circle of that hole right now. Yeah, I don't want to. So maybe the book will help. I'm hoping.
Well, another person who came through the clubhouse not too long ago was John Rocker. Remember John Rocker?
I do.
Baseball
for several teams, Major League Baseball, relief pitcher.
Yeah.
Also a noted, I guess he slanted conservative, did he not? He had some political views that got him in trouble sometimes. He was kind of a, didn't he and John Daly go back and forth?
Oh, yeah,
about a few things. So, yeah, he got his name in the headlines sometimes more when he wasn't pitching than when he was pitching.
I can tell you that John did not draw the attention that his girlfriend did when he came through the clubhouse. I'll just leave it at that.
Is that right?
I said, oh, yeah, there's John. Oh.
You know it's his girlfriend? I mean, not a
well,
wife,
I,
don't know?
Wife, girlfriend, whatever. I didn't.
Okay.
I don't know. I hope,
his wife's not listening.
His wife's not listening to this show.
She's going to have a real problem with the girlfriend being
well,
there.
Well, so John, what side of the yard do you want your stuff on, the left or the right? What's easier for you to back up the truck and get it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but this, yeah. I got to tell you, I don't.
Makes Atlanta home.
I don't mean to belabor it, but again, Omni Hotels and Resorts, check them out. If you've not stayed in Omni, you're missing something. They're fabulous. Fabulous hotels and resorts. Great golf courses. Oh, my goodness. Great golf courses.
How about our good friends at Azalea as well?
Who? Azalea?
Give them thanks.
Who are they?
Yeah. Azalea
who?
House.
Azalea.
Our good friends.
Where's that?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay.
You say what you want. You don't care.
AzaleaHospitality.com. Marcus, yep. Billy, Chris, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Billy Lombard will be with me tomorrow. He'll be here.
That's right.
So,
that's right. He said he was coming
in. In fact, he's good friends with the Spieth family also and the Simmons family.
That's so, kind of a big circle there because
yeah,
they're
it is.
Big
We're
parts of the the Spieth Foundation
yeah.
and his event and everything. And Jordan, when he and his family travel, I guess you said that there's quite an entourage for
yeah.
the Spieth family at this
well,
tournament.
Well,
and
big
they kind
events,
of make
yeah.
all the arrangements. Azalea Housen makes all
they
the arrangements.
They
for
make all the
yeah.
arrangements. And so we're all going to do something tomorrow night. So. He said, if Jordan wins, we're going to have a big party. I said, all right, I'm coming.
Work,
they said, oh, you're invited.
Cut out.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But anyway, no, it's great to be here. It's the Tour Championships. I'm groping for a term here. It's intimate, yet exciting. It's not like the massive, you know, huge
well, yeah.
crowds.
Yeah, you
but
think
they're solid crowds. But this is an old course, a Tom Bendolo course, as I said earlier. On a previous show that was redesigned or reworked a little bit by Donald Ross. But it's historic. You should see the memorabilia that's in this clubhouse from Bobby
yeah.
Jones, from Arnold Palmer, and on. It's something else, man. It's really cool
you
to
think
be
about
here.
It. This is a fifth, basically, the field of a normal golf tournament.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it is very intimate, as much as fans can still come in droves if they choose to. But, yeah, when you normally have 150, let's round it off, guys starting on a Thursday, Friday, and you have 30, it's almost like a small little group for, you know, your Ole Miss alumni or something. You know, they're just playing golf.
I wouldn't even bring that school up right now.
And there's 30, well, you know what I'm saying? It's just 30 guys. I mean, it's a small little, you know.
Yeah,
I play every fall. We play a thing called the Omega Open here in Dallas with some friends. And it's about 24 guys. So
it's
kind of right there.
In the spring,
thing.
You have an Alpha Open? And in the fall,
nope.
You have an Omega Open?
We just have the Omega. I named it the Omega, me and another guy, because... I'll give you one hint because the other guy that we kind of started it with was Frank Michalopoulos. And he does like his Greek connections to everything. So I said, Frank, why don't we call this the Omega Open? And he didn't argue. We started about five
Imagine
years
that.
Ago. And he says, let's do that. Omega sounds like a good name for that. So anyway, but it's about the same number of guys. Quite a few different stroke levels in talent, but about the same number.
I bet the course setup's not quite as difficult either.
It's not quite the same. But
yeah.
I'll tell you about that. It's coming up in early November, actually, we're playing it this year. We go out to East Texas and play out there, and we have a great time. Pine Dunes, we play at one of the great courses in East Texas.
Yeah.
We have a great time out there, yeah.
Yeah, I've never played it, but I've heard a lot about that.
It'll be fun.
It'll be
a lot of fun.
Well, I am going to get out of here because I need to get back to the clubhouse to meet with a few people, and we'll have some more stories of clubhouse shenanigans and Omni Hotel CNN Center fun
yep.
stories. Met an actor last night, and I'll tell you about that tomorrow. But
okay.
Met an actor in the hospitality area, we shall call it, at the Omni, and a really cool guy, really interesting. He was here to do, they're doing some movie here in Atlanta, so I'll tell you more about that. It's really cool stuff.
Very nice.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So it's,
well, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate everybody listening. We certainly like to thank Eric Kaplan for being with us. Again, check his website out, axisgolf.com, axysgolf.com. If you have yips, you got any kind of problems with long game, short game, he can help you with it right there. So go to the website and tell him you listen to Golf Talk America. You get a free book. What more could you want?
Yep.
We're trying to help everything. Part of your game every chance we can. We're doing more.
Yes,
free
we
books
do.
When we can. Join us next time for Frank Bassett. I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you, everybody, and we'll be back next time again from East Lake Golf Club and give you an update on what's happening at the Tour Championship, and we will talk to you then.